Welcome to the Sunday Poems. I'm Ken Hayda. Thank you for joining me today, episode number 191. This is the weekend of the Woody Guthrie Festival, and all across Oklahoma, Tulsa, Okemah, Oklahoma City, there are poetic celebrations and music celebrations of Woody Guthrie and his emphasis on social justice and protest poetry. So that gets my thoughts going today to another protest poet, I guess you could say, Edwin Markham. Markham, born in 1852, died in 1940, and he achieved international fame with a poem titled The Man with the Hoe, which is written ekphrastically after Millais' world-famous painting of that same topic and name. Markham was raised Methodist, but he eventually gave that up and became a socialist and spent much of his life writing about social utopia, both in nature and in politics, especially championing the common man, pointing out the greed that so easily besets our society. The interesting thing is that Markham's poetry is rather different than the popular poetry of the early 20th century. Markham's poetry came into being in the 1920s and before that at the turn of the century. And it's easy to critique, in one sense, his political beliefs and his poetry and claim it's naive and unrealistic. On the other hand, in another sense, his work leaves a lasting question. What is the point if we lose our ideals? What are we working for? Are we supposed to just give in to the pessimism and the cynicism of society? Markham's style is old world. He did not write in the new free verse and minimalist style that was becoming more and more, the imagist style that was becoming more and more popular in the 20th century. And so in one sense, he's a throwback. But he has a message, I think, that has withstood time. And I think it's important for us to recognize that even in the rhymed poetry that he leaves us, there is a certain power there that ought to be reckoned with. Quoting from a 1902 essay, Leonard Abbott proclaimed, quote, "Markham, more than any other poet in the English language, can claim the honor of being the bard of labor, the true product of the last great movement that is destined to shake the world." Close quote. Let me read a few of his poems, both championing the labor movement and the common man, and also his poetic efforts at nature. First, I'll start with his most famous poem, The Man with the Hoe. Bowed by the weight of centuries, he leans upon his hoe and gazes on the ground, the emptiness of ages in his face, and on his back the burden of the world. Who made him dead to rapture and despair, a thing that grieves not and that never hopes? Stolid and stunned, a brother to the ox. Who loosened and let down this brutal jaw? Whose was the hand that slanted back this brow? Whose breath blew out the light within this brain? Is this the thing the Lord God made and gave to have dominion over sea and land, to trace the stars and search the heavens for power, to feel the passion of eternity? Is this the dream he dreamed, who shaped the suns and marked their ways upon the ancient deep? Down all the stretch of hell to its last gulf, there is no shape more terrible than this, more tongued with censure of the world's blind greed, more filled with signs and portents for the soul, more fraught with danger to the universe. What gulfs between him and the seraphim? Slave of the wheel of labor, what to him are Plato and the swing of Pleiades? What the long reaches of the peaks of song, the rift of dawn, the reddening of the rose? Through this dread shape the suffering ages look. Time's tragedy is in that aching stoop. Through this dread shape humanity betrayed, plundered, profaned, and disinherited, cries protest to the judges of the world, a protest that is also prophecy. O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, is this the handiwork you give to God, this monstrous thing distorted and soul-quenched? How will you ever straighten up this shape, touch it again with immortality, give back the upward looking and the light, rebuild it in the music and the dream, make right the immemorial infamies, perfidious wrongs, immedicable woes? O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, how will the future reckon with this man? How answer his brute question in that hour when whirlwinds of rebellion shake the world? How will it be with kingdoms and with kings, with those who shaped him to the thing he is, when this dumb terror shall reply to God after the silence of the centuries? The Man with the Hoe. Here's his poem, The Cricket. The twilight is the morning of his day, while sleep drops seaward from the fading shore, with purpling sail and dip of silver oar. He cheers the shadowed time with roundelay until the dark east softens into gray. Now as the noisy hours are coming, hark! His song dies gently, it is growing dark. His night with its one star is on the way. Faintly the light breaks over the blowing oats. Sleep, little brother, sleep. I am astir. We worship song, and servants are of her. I in the bright hours, thou in the shadow time. Lead thou the starlit night with merry notes, and I will lead the clamoring day with rhyme. I think it's possible to interpret his nature poetry in an allegorical or at least a metaphorical connection to his social themes of the working man as well as his more outright proclamations. He wrote a lot of poetry located in and commenting on California. Here's a poem titled In Death Valley. There came gray stretches of volcanic plains, bare, lone, and treeless, then a bleak lone hill like to the Dolores Hill that Doble saw. Around were heaps of ruins piled between the burn of sorrow and the water of care. And from the stillness of the down-crushed walls, one pillar rose up dark against the moon. There was a nameless presence everywhere. In the gray soil, there was a purple stain, and the gray reticent rocks were dyed with blood. Blood of a vast unknown calamity. It was the mark of some ancestral grief. Grief that began before the ancient flood. A workman to the gods. Once Phidias stood with hammer in his hand, carving Minerva from the breathing stone, tracing with love the winding of a hair, a single hair upon her head, whereon a youth of Athens cried, O Phidias, why do you dally on a hidden hair? When she is lifted to the lofty front of the Parthenon, no human eye will see. And Phidias thundered on him, Silence, slave. Men will not see, but the immortals will. The Daring One. I would my soul were like the bird that dares the vastness undeterred. Look, where the bluebird on the bough breaks into raptured even now. He sings, tip-top the tossing elm, as though he would a world overwhelm. Indifferent to the void he rides upon the wind's eternal tides. He tosses gladly on the gale, for well he knows he cannot fail. Knows if the bough breaks, still his wings will bear him upward while he sings. That last stanza about he knows if the bough breaks, still his wings will bear him upward while he sings reminds me of the branch will not be broken, a very similar line by a more modern poet, James Wright. An old road, a host of poppies, a flight of swallows, a flurry of rain, and a wind that follows shepherds the leaves and the sheltered hollows, for the forest is shaken and thinned. Over my head are the firs for rafter, the crows blow south, and my heart goes after. I kiss my hands to the world with laughter. Is it Aden or mystical end? Oh, the whirl of the fields in the windy weather, how the barley breaks and blows together. Oh, glad is the free bird afloat on the heather. Oh, the whole world is glad of the wind. And I'll end with a short quatrain, which carries quite a social punch, I think, a reinforcement of everything that is valuable. It's titled Preparedness. For all your days prepare, and meet them ever alike, when you are the anvil, bear, when you are the hammer, strike. A number of poems this morning from Edwin Markham, most famous for The Man with the Hoe. Thank you for joining me. My name is Ken Haida. You can find my work at kenhaida.org. Thank you for listening to the program, for subscribing to the podcast, and for sharing with your friends. Until next week, I'm Ken Haida with the Sunday Poems.